both of you are all involved in Cinema Network. Just tell us a little bit about the setup. I know Matt Bird who started that.
Okay. It was a charity, well, originally it wasn't, but it became a charity set up in 2010. And the idea was to get a collection of the best projects that were helping in community, Christian projects run through the local church, which were helping. You might have heard a few of them. So obviously food banks start, the Trussell Trust starts, is one of those. Street pastors and street angels. There's then some slightly lesser known ones, some small ones, helping people in back into employment. There's CAP, Christians Against Poverty, is part of that team. So there's about 30 separate organizations and charities which Cinnamon was promoting. So it meant that a church could come to Cinnamon and find out which project suited them for their circumstances and allowed them, maybe even give them a grant. From time to time we had some money to give grants away. And that was really an eye-opener for me. I saw these projects that were really first class, really good, well thought through, well resourced, run by committed people, which was really making a difference in all parts of society, all sectors. And so churches can, even small churches, could get involved in running something that made a difference, bringing Christ into the community, helping where there was a particular point of need. So we really appreciated that element. We felt, though, there was possibly more that we wanted to do before a church made a decision to make to run a project. There was a little bit of working out where God was leading for any church and how they should go about thinking about where the needs were in any community. So we kind of started, we went a little bit upstream, I suppose, a little bit up the river to see whether we could work a way of enabling churches to discover what their gifts were, what their and how that matched with the areas of need in their particular community. So.
They had, obviously, they'd thought things really well through, and they had like kind of products on a shelf, didn't they? So that any church could take them and tweak them and use them. So they had
still
like they'll let the dads out, and I think there was one called the Crack Pops. Is that the teapots? Is that not Cinnamon?
There's one called Peace Together, which is
not the same.
It's not quite the same as Crack Pops.
I think that's the Crack Pops. It worked totally better different. In Bradford, did the title Crack Pops.
Can you tell me a little bit about? Yeah, I mean, you can say
just that. Say about Peace Together is actually, it's a wonderful way of working with women who've come out of abusive relationships or just have broken lives, and it literally, one of the first things they do is around making something beautiful out of scraps, and they often do a mural, smashing up tiles and stuff and making something beautiful. And it's not that there's any magic in that making, it's the relationships that are formed as you sit around a table and just build friendship, trust and love with and help restore confidence in people whose lives have been just shaken to the core.
Yeah, because obviously you've been involved in that now. I'm just wondering if you could maybe share with us some things that have really impacted in community and in society by church, getting hold of things like this and really running with it, knowing that this is suited for their surroundings and their community. Is there anything else that comes to mind?
Yeah, well, we there's a few things perhaps in our church which we can see, but I think I would say there's, with for example, TLG. TLG is a charity that works with in education, helping particularly children who've fallen out of education. They've haven't been able to cope with mainstream. It helps them to effectively give some coaching, give some teaching, and hopefully allows them back into mainstream education. Is something that's was started in Bradford, which you may know about. So something like that, Ella's been involved in that a little bit. We've seen centres around the country, education centres, and then also something called early intervention, going into primary schools and helping a child who's possibly having a bit of a wobble, maybe family relationships aren't as they should be, or there's some other issue, bullying, something like that. And it just allows bit of mentoring time for that child, just to have an hour a week where a coach goes in, spends time with that child, and hopefully steers them in a course away from truancy or bad behaviour, and allows them to get back into at the right frame of mind to benefit from their education. I think that's one of the ones that we particularly like.
I have a very soft spot for TLG.
TLG is?
Well, it started off as the Lighthouse Group, which everybody then abbreviated to TLG. So they rebranded to TLG, the Education Charity, whereupon people said, what's TLG? So you started doing Lighthouse Group. They are now known as Transforming Lives for Good. Mm-hmm. And the reason they've, and that was their strap line when they went to TLG, the Education Charity. And that's because in the last 12 months, they have taken over Make Lunch. Now, it's another really significant, it's a really simple idea. There's been a lot in the news about holiday hunger for families who have free school meals. Food banks often notice that demand goes up in school holidays because families that can, you know, get by during term time knowing the children have a hot meal at the in the middle of the day. Suddenly, if you've got two children, half term comes along and that's 10 more meal portions to find, you know, two children, five lunches. Make Lunch is about providing lunch in the school holidays. So it's done in partnership with the school. And it's not just come in, have your lunch and go. There's all sorts of activities that go on. So with that coming under the TLG banner, it's linked with schools, but it's not education as such, so it's transforming lives for good. The stories of transformation amongst families that find their children being coached, whether that's at a TLG education centre, which is where kids have been excluded, or coached by local church volunteers who, in partnership with it's the school who says, we have a child here who, if something doesn't change for them, they're going to end up being excluded. If not here, then at secondary school. It gives the church that opportunity, A, for one coach, 1 hour, one child, and it's one school year. But it puts the church in contact with that family. And it's more than just that 1 hour then. It's how's the family getting on? It builds that bridge into the family home. And that's where the transformation comes. It's just, there's some wonderful stories. Go and look it up, because I could bore you for hours on stories from TLG.
Yeah, I think that's what I love about you, when I first met you, is all to do with getting the church over their threshold, into community, into society, but also working with the social, of everything that's going on, and church linking with that. To want the best for people and for children and for teenagers. But like you said, Pete, today, the ultimate is to actually talk to them about Christ, about leading people to Jesus.
Of course it is. I think it starts with that heart from a Christian point of view, that you want people to know the best. You want them to get out of their debt, but you want them to know Christ. You want them to, to be fed and not to come out of poverty, but you want them to know Christ. But I think it's really important that we have a heart for people, even if they say no, even if they object or they don't want to listen. That isn't a reason not to stop caring for them. And I think Christians have always been known as the ones who care, that the ones who have compassion. And that is our hallmark as Christians, is to have that care where perhaps other people have forgotten them, and actually to look out for the people who've been left behind or marginalized. And that's our territory. That's where we should be. But if someone doesn't respond, that's not a reason to take away the help and the support. You have to kind of take that as being part of the thing. It's their choice, but you want them to experience acceptance. You want to welcome them and to genuinely like them without judging them for what they may have done. But the person is a person made by God, and therefore they deserve to be recognized and valued for who they are. And that's the basis of any work, as far as I see it, in society.
And over the years you've been involved in this, and obviously you could talk about this for weeks, really, of the real positives of how God's used that in bridge building and leading people to Christ. Over that time period, did the church struggle with it, especially on the mainland, to see it and to get on board with it? Because you know I guess sometimes we want people to come into a church, which is not wrong, but actually getting out and to work with the police or to work with education or to work with, sometimes things take a while. So did that take a while, and is it still taking a while?
Yes. I'm sure it's the same for most churches, that it's quite a scary thing to kind of go and meet the police or the council or whoever, when you kind of feel that maybe, you know, your position as someone in a church, maybe you may feel you're not in a strong position, I suppose. But most churches have struggled. I think there's a lack of confidence, and that's a lack of confidence perhaps in the fact that God will be with them wherever they go and that he will give them the words to speak. But it's still a scary thing to go and talk to people who don't know Christ, and the professionals and the people in various services around. It's a hard thing, but I think God does provide that avenue, and he provides, if you stand up and say, I'm part of this church or that church or this group of churches, we're here to help people, then there's a common bond immediately. You know, their aims in social services or in the NHS or in a council will always be that they're wanting to help people, and the church wants to help people as well. They have another message, which is ultimately their kind of reason for doing it. But we often, Cinnamon came up with a great phrase, which is that we're faith-based but not faith-biased. And it helped, council, they like that, write that down on their pad, because it gives the sense that, yes, of course, we are motivated by our faith, but we're not going to be selective in the way that we help people. We help everybody we can. I think as churches, that's generally the case.
Can I just say, as our church is Skipton Baptist Church, so a bit of a link there through the Baptist circles, but we were 150 years old back in 2012, I think it was, and as members, as part of that, we'd been running CAP money courses, which is around proactive budgeting, so you avoid going into debt. And if you've never experienced it, give it a go. It's a real challenge, and it's very countercultural, but it's really good. But we constantly found that there were people there who actually were already in debt. So as part of our 150th birthday celebrations, we set up a CAP debt centre. Now, that involves employing a CAP centre manager and paying CAP for their training. And there's also a partnership fee. So it wasn't an insubstantial investment for our church, which was quite a bit smaller at the time. But we just felt, there are lots of people here who need help. Let's try and do it. So that was about seven years ago. The way God provided, actually, at the outset was another story, but the point at which we said, yes, we'll do it, within 24 hours, we had the money to start up and the person to head it up, which was wonderful. But it's only in the last 12 months, I would say, that we are now seeing CAP clients come through the door of church and engaging, and we're seeing lives changed. Over that time, we've seen 52 people become debt-free, and the value of their debt at becoming debt-free is somewhere towards £1.3 million. We've actually handled £1.8 million in debt. This is Skipton, the happiest place to live in England, and all that stuff. There's an underlying reality, and I think if you scratch the surface anywhere, you will find people struggling, and Christ calls us, you know, to see them and reach out to them. So it's taken years for us to sort of, if you like, see the results of what we're doing, if people coming into church is the result. The significant thing is that people are finding faith, but even if they didn't, as Peter said, our responsibility is to follow Christ's call. And he tells us, you know, to act justly and to love mercy and to feed the hungry. And he stops, you know, yes, we share our faith and we want them to find faith.
And this is scratching where people are itching in their communities.
Yeah. It turns, in a sense, it turns the church round, because we're very good at thinking, you know, and, you know, we have a lovely church building ourselves, and it's lovely to think, come to church, come to church, come to church. These things, like food bank, actually, the church turns round and goes to where the people are. And ultimately, the traffic does flow back to church. But we're the ones who have the hope. We're the ones who have the light of the gospel. We have to take it to people, because they're not going to flood through the door. But they need it, even if they don't realise it. So it turns you round, and in a sense, God pushes you out of the door in order that we can open them and people can come back.
Tell us a little bit about Augment, because we had a great time setting that up. We did a lot of travelling and met a lot of people.
We used to have our board meeting was in McDonald's at Shipley, by the way, which is pretty nice, I tell you, as a board. We kind of had a similar view, didn't we, really, that we wanted to see churches enabled, encouraged, resourced to get out more, basically, to get out more into their society and to find ways of sharing Christ's love with people who are in need. And we felt that there were some things we could do around training and about getting into churches and talking to the members of church and saying, what is it that you have? What resources do you have? What do you hold in your hand, as it were? And matching that with, well, what are the needs? Have you found out what the needs are? Have you been to talk to the professionals around in your town or your village? Have you found out who else is doing good things? Have you established where the gaps are? There's one you'll know probably from your past. There's in a lovely place called Castleford, which is an old sort of mining area just south of Leeds. There are, in Castleford itself, there are three food banks run by three different churches in the same town. And whilst we respect and honour all three churches for getting involved, you're thinking, well, surely there's a way of those three churches working together to get one food bank, and then maybe other people can do something else with their time, because it just seemed to me to be a bit of a duplication. So it's a little bit of kind of strategic thing, isn't it, really? Saying, well, what other churches maybe, do you know what other churches are doing in Lerwick? I'm sure you probably do. You've got a much greater, stronger community feel than I think even we do it in Skipton. So I guess the answer may be yes, but are you sure you know where, do you know where the gaps are? Do you know where people are falling through the cracks in the pavement? Do you know where the church might actually be able to partner with another church, or even think about partnering outside the church with other organizations who have a similar objective? I'm not asking you to change your views and your theology. You're just asking, well, are there people of peace, we would say, people who have a heart to help other people? We can find a way of getting alongside them. So we were kind of looking at that, weren't we, and saying, well, what can we do? And that was 2 years ago, more than 2 years ago. And we've been on a bit of a journey we were looking at data. We've got a colleague who has an immense ability to use data to reveal needs and statistics to help kind of make some decisions. We're still working with that. Were you going to ask me about this? We started a cafe by accident, which was a bit strange. The accidental cafe. Where basically there was a local housing association that were running a local cafe once a week in the afternoon. And they ran out of money, and they stopped with 8 days' notice. And these were people who were coming, who had well-being issues. So they had maybe had mental health issues or other strong issues. Stopped in the middle of summertime last year, and our food bank manager found out about it, was pretty cross, and we were pretty cross about it. What about these people who have been left high and dry? There's no provision. What are they going to do? You know, this was a community that had been sort of split apart. So we rang the council up and said, yeah, it's not very good. What are you going to do about it? And they said, well, you better come in for a meeting. So we came in for a meeting, and another agency came in as well. And they said to us, well, would you like to take over the cafe? And here's some money. And here's a group here who do creative arts and activities like that. They can join you as well. There you go. So we started a week later. They missed a week, but we started. And we hadn't got a clue what we were doing. Absolutely no idea what we were doing. But God put in front of us a whole group of people who needed the support and the acceptance and friendship. And he said, okay, not just to our church, to a group of churches, you do the job of supporting them. You provide that sort of safety net. You provide the place of welcome where they can come. And over the 6 months, it's been an absolute privilege. It's been a complete eye-opener for me. I've never had anything remotely like this before. And these people who come in, you feel immediately that God loves them. He values them as people. It doesn't matter whether they've got a condition or not, they are people. And our thing, the church's thing, is that we welcome the people who come in, we spend time with them, we speak to them, we value them, we just want to go get to know them as people. And yeah, they may have a condition which causes a few, you know, a few issues, but that's okay. We've now got this arrangement with the council. They pay us for the service, effectively, which is lovely. We sell toasties and we make a few pounds, but not very many. And this other creative arts organisation, I think it's wonderful because they wouldn't get those people in. And somehow the working, the church and the welcome and the activity where people can, you know, get involved in craft and enjoy it, it just works really well. It works really well. And there are different things. You can have games and you can have people doing, there's allotments, I suppose, are almost the same. And we've, you know, there are other different variations. And I know you've got some here. I know you do a lot of that sort of welcoming and hospitality. And it really works. Hospitality is such an important part of the Christians and the church's mission and ministry. So,
can I say,
did I answer the question? I don't know.
I can say one of the things. I support Peter in doing the cafe. I have other things I have to get on. And I usually end up popping down towards the end of the afternoon and I catch their debrief. But one of the things that really struck me most recently, when I think someone had said something about, well, when they come, or when they're doing this, and they were gently corrected and saying, this is not them and us.
No.
There's only us, you know, and it's just, these are people made in the image of God, loved by a saviour.
Yeah, that's really important. Yeah, absolutely. Pete, if you can just stand up and show us your flashy hoodie.
Yes, well, this is, I don't normally wear hoodies, by the way, but I'm wearing this because it's got Do You Know Him on, which we'll talk about in a minute. This is given to us by some people in Ramsbottom. Ramsbottom is a place in Lancashire, and we've, you know, from Yorkshire and Lancashire, obviously, is not necessarily see eye to eye all the time. And they've given us a few of these. They've started Do You Know Him as part of their mission in the town. So, is that what you wanted to know? I've got a little pocket
just
here. For
just the title of Do You Know Him? Because what's happened in Skipton in this town is the church has got together and decided to run an event, which to me I think it's really, really powerful. And what's happened just in the town as a result of the churches doing this? So could you just fill us in a little bit about, in fact, I think you've got something for us to watch.
I have. Is that okay? Are you going to stick around? That's fine. Do you want me to
take over now? I think that's his way of saying sit down.
That's right. Well, I hope this is going to work, and I apologise if it doesn't, but Do You Know Him is a Well, it's not an event, actually, Pete. It's actually, we don't know how to describe it. It's a thing. It's a movement, I suppose we're going to call it. It's not a mission. It's not a kind of one-week wonder. It's not even a season of mission. It's actually just a continuing change in the way that we do mission. And get that around. I don't know if this is going to work. Can you, I've got the thing, haven't I? There you go. I've got it all along. So there we go. What's it all about? So I'm going to. Oh yeah, that's correct. Thank you very much. Turn it on first. There we go. Thank you. So okay. So this is what I think. A lot of people outside the church think of it as the church. Do you agree? They think that the church is failing. Really, it's shrinking. It's not relevant anymore. It's not doing any good, and it's costing money to repair the roof. Obviously, it doesn't have a roof in that case, and they see it as irrelevant. The church has not got any relevance in society, and what I think we need to do as church is to show that that's plainly not true. I mean, you here today would agree that God is alive in His church. And that Jesus is the head of the church, that Jesus is the one who is victorious, that he is coming back in one day. And he wants people to know him. And we have to, our job is to tell people that that God loves them and that Jesus came and died for us. So what we have is something that they came up with. A group of ministers in Skipton came up with, which was a question: do you know him? And we put a hashtag in it to make it nice and modern, by the way. It's two questions in one, which is, it's about either to know Jesus more or more to know Jesus. So the more to know Jesus is the evangelism side, and the to know Jesus more is the discipleship side. And really, this is about making disciples rather than what you might call just evangelizing people or saving souls. It's making disciples out of people, which after all is what Jesus commanded us to do. So we had a bit of a dry run 1 year, and then we kind of launched it the second year. And what it is it's a view that basically Jesus is the most important thing we can talk about to people. We need to tell people about this wonderful man who was God, who came down to save us. And there's so much that I'm sure any one of you guys would want to tell someone about. And we need to find a way of breaking down some of the misconceptions of people outside the church, and indeed inside the church, break down the barriers inside the church, just to make sure that we focus on the main thing. So we keep the main thing, which is Jesus. So this is just setting the scene, really. So we did a number of things to kind of try and change the way that we as church thought about it, and also helped the local community to think about the church in a different way. So one of the things we did is that every church in our town and around in the villages had a banner outside, exactly the same banner which said, "Do you know him?" And it's done on this slightly strange typeface, I think, but it says, "Do you know him?" And what it does, just very strangely, really, people then go around and think, "Oh yeah, that one's got the same one." You start to think that the churches might be working together. That kind of external view that you get. Maybe the church has got something to say which is not, they're not arguing or anything. They're actually talking the same language. So one of the things was the banners. Very simple. It's kind of really not rocket science whatsoever. We had a launch service. My slides are slightly in the wrong order, but it doesn't matter. So we had a unity service. We invited every church to come, and they did. We got the local bishop to turn up, and he was astonished, actually, that all the churches got together. And we set off and said, right, we are going to do this thing called Do You Know Him? We realized that prayer was going to be essential. clearly that is always the same, always the case with any Christian endeavor. It's got to be underpinned and kind of overdrawn by prayer. So we made sure that there were regular times of prayer. But at least together, we had something to pray about because each of the churches was involved in the same way, particularly thinking about going out onto the streets and telling people about Do You Know Him? And the other thing we did inside the churches was we created the same program of preaching for every church. So every church, this is last year, it's not very long ago. Last year, we did a series of 10, and these are the topics we looked at. So real and revealed. We looked at, this is Jesus, real and revealed. Jesus the restorer, Jesus the teacher, Jesus the king, Jesus the friend. Every church did that in their own way, in whatever style that was relevant, however long they wanted to preach for. It didn't matter. The fact is that they were doing the same thing. They were looking at the person of Jesus and how these characteristics could be explored and considered by each church in their own way. And then we would have, it has a bit of a kind of media element to it. So every week we'd get one or two or three of the leaders who had preached that Sunday. On the Sunday morning, it got them into a little makeshift studio and asked them what did they find. And so there was this conversation going on between the leaders about their subject, which was the same subject but treated in a different way. And that was really helpful, I think, for churches to see that actually, yeah, there was this really interesting debate going on at leadership level on Jesus, on who, you know, we all agreed on and we could all talk about. So that was a really helpful thing for the churches to break down some of the barriers and the misunderstandings that we had between us and try and create a sense of unity around the person of Jesus. And so on the advance, so that's on the for the teaching and the prayer was on the kind of church side, looking at how do we resource the church, how do we make it look at being together in the way that we think about Jesus and the way we think about each other. And then we had some thoughts about evangelism. It's a very scary thing, isn't it? Going out onto the streets and talking to people about anything, actually, but particularly about Jesus. So we had this chap. This is a guy called Chris Duffett. He's used to be the president of the Baptist Union, if you maybe didn't know that, a few years ago. He's actually also an artist, but he loves talking to people about Jesus. He lives in Peterborough, I think, most of the time, and he goes out into Peterborough. They've got a big square, and he does some crazy things in terms of strange things for most people's view to engage people and to make them curious as to what the message is all about. We'll have a look at a few in a moment. And the other thing in our preparation was to get some various bits and pieces to give away. One of the other misconceptions about churches, I think, that people have outside the churches, not only are they divided and arguing amongst themselves, but also they tend to be wanting something, you know, they're always wanting some money for the church roof, that sort of thing. So we decided that we wouldn't do that, that actually what we would do is give stuff away, that we would never accept money. If anybody offers us money, we won't take it. But we will always give them stuff. So we like giving away anything, but there's various leaflets here and T-shirts that we were wearing. But we would give away merchandise, as it were, to people just free, just because. And we'd say, you know, that we would ask, you know, say to people, you know, God bless you. Or, you know, rather than wanting something from them, we were giving them something. And we put some events together, a range of events. The ones you can see there, if you can see it from there, we've got a group called Epiphany, who are a classical music group, travel around the country, and they play classical music, start in their concert, and then they will do what they call sound portraits, which is guided by the Holy Spirit. They will put someone in the center on a chair, and they will then play a kind of unique tune for them as they see their that person's character. It's a very moving and quite emotional experience. We had a chap here who is a comedian, but also a sort of illusionist, I suppose we'll call him, but primarily telling his story about Jesus. We had a storyteller who went into the schools, and we had Pentecost praise, which we all got together for. The other thing was we tried to use as much media as possible, because a lot of the younger generations nowadays are going to be looking online, and we felt that it was important to build a community presence around that. So we had a website, of course, we have a YouTube channel, and we have Facebook page, which then helped all of the churches to link together a bit more for those who use Facebook and things like that. And what have we seen? Now, you would have got a movie, but with lots of music, but you've got now just a series of pictures, if that's all right. So we did 10 weeks on the trot of activities, and we tried to find ones that would that would interest people, that were something that people would relate to. So, for example, one of the earliest ones we did was around Valentine's Day. So we had some roses, and we gave the roses out to the men and women, of course. We asked them a question: what is love? And we asked them to put it on a board. And so we got them engaged around the whole issue of God and his love. We had another one here with a maze and a treasure chest in the middle. We asked the people to go around the maze and look in the treasure chest. And it was about what God saw of value. And of course, there was a mirror in there, which showed that, of course, it was the person who was of value to God. We had flower pots here. I don't know if you can see that in the bottom left-hand corner, which we had just planted. I don't know what they were, dahlias or daffodils. And but on the outside of it, we put something like peace or patience or whatever. There's one woman who came up to one of us and said, I want you to put, instead of what you've got, I want you to put alive. She'd just come out of remission from cancer. She wanted alive on her flower pot. And people were going away sort of treasuring this flower pot with a flower in it. It's something tactile, something tangible people could relate to. So going to someone and saying, would you like this flower pot and with peace on it or with love on it, on the side of it, or some other verse, short thing on it, was a really nice thing. People accepted it. They could see it. They understood what it was. But it enabled us to then ask them, you know, how they were. How do they, you know, ask them questions. Ask them if they would like to be prayed for. So it was a really good introduction. It was something tangible. I don't know if I'm going to be able to show that. Yes, one of them here. So you can see on the right-hand side there, we've got a table with some fruit on it. So we put on each different type of fruit, we put one of the fruits of the Spirit on it. So love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. And we ask people to come in and pick one of the fruit that they'd like. And then, of course, ask them why they wanted love or why they wanted patience. And it was a real good introduction to a discussion about what was happening in their life. The stones in that bottom left-hand corner were the stones of hope. And we actually had them all with a verse on, but the verse was hidden. And we asked them to just pick one, a bit like, I don't know what that would be, picking up a stone and having a look at what was underneath. And there were so many people who would pick one up and there would be a verse on the inside. They'd go, oh, that's just what I needed. You know, and they took these stones home with them and put them on the mantelpiece or whatever. And it's just a way of engaging with people at a normal level. So really, really helpful. The one above there was what's called What's Your Story? We had this storyteller, and we thought, well, we'll do a little bit of a big book. We asked people to write down their life story in 6 words. They had to think of 6 words that described who they were. There's one chap who I saw who came up. He just used an expletive 6 times. And so that was a conversation, a bit of a shocker one actually, but it was a starter. Why do you feel like that? So it just gives you a point of contact. We at Christmas, or just before Christmas, we did a stable, and it was with a banner in the picture. So we had all these people dressed up as members of the nativity cast, and we asked people then to dress up themselves and to get in. We'll take a photograph of them. And it, again, just provided a way of people recognizing that Christmas was actually not just about presents and other things, but was about the stable, was about the baby. And that was helpful. You might see there's a donkey riding up and down the side as well somewhere. Other things just seemed to happen. So the churches started to have ideas, and we started to think, oh, we could do that. So this was our crew for the Skipton. It's called the Gala in Skipton, but I would call it a gala. So it's the Gala, which is the procession through the town and then up to the park and then a big fair at the top. And we had a big truck and we got a band on it. And lots of people with gifts, all the merchandise we'd managed to collect and sweets. And we were just going down the high street giving all of this out. We ran out far too early. But it was extraordinary. So singing, I think, Build Your Kingdom Here, going up Skipton High Street with a band made up of all the churches was quite extraordinary. We'd never done that before. I think it's on the cards for this year. This chap, Bob Hartman, we asked him to come in to talk to the church, schools about the stories about Jesus. It wasn't evangelistic. It was more information as a teacher about the life of Jesus. So it's giving the kids something they hadn't got, actually, which was the understanding of who Jesus was. So he would come, and they had an exhibition going for a week. We had originally, I think, 5 schools getting involved. But just before the week started, one of the schools had a complaint from a parent who said that he didn't want us proselytizing his child, and made a complaint to the school. The school had to withdraw all of their children. And what's more, they complained to the local authority. So the woman from the council came down and attended one of these sessions. She came away from the session saying that this was the best example of a teaching about Christian faith and about Jesus that she'd ever seen. Would we like to go into the newsletter for the next, for the whole of North Yorkshire? And could we use this as a model, please, for other places around the county? So sometimes when you think there's an opposition, sometimes it will be strong opposition. Sometimes that opposition actually turns into an opportunity for God to work something amazing. So just one of the things about being on the street, this is our high street, this is outside the town hall, was being able to just say to people, could we pray for you? And we might have got one refusal, I think. I don't know quite how many. Maybe it was 2. But people would normally say yes. And I remember this I think this is one where we did St. Patrick's Day, which was essentially we gave everybody a free blanket. We would often open the blanket, put them around, because it was quite cold, put them around them. And then we had St. Patrick's Prayer. I don't know if you've ever read St. Patrick's Prayer, but it's about Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ beside me, Christ above me, Christ below me. It's a fantastic prayer. And I remember there were two quite elderly husband and wife who stood there and said, can we pray for you? Yes, they can. And they stood there with their hands like this together. And it became clear that they hadn't been prayed for since their childhood, because the way they prayed with their hands like this together, it was quite clear that no one had ever prayed for them. And I think, how many other people are there in our societies who would love to be prayed for if only they were asked? So just to encourage you, people like to be prayed for. There are some people object, but where's it going? Well, this, as I say, is something that has just happened. It seems just to have built a little bit of a life of its own. It's now something that we have exported to Lancashire a little bit. So there's parts of West Craven, which is over the border, and then Ramsbottom, lovely place called Ram. We call it Rammy down there, Rammy. And Telford and other places which are now saying, this really works for us. One of the things I didn't mention was that when we're asked on the street, which church do you go to? We say, for us, we say, we're from the church in Skipton. We don't say we're from this one church or that church. Although we will, if that becomes important to somebody. But it's the importance is that we are the church. We happen to go to one church or another. If, we can say one flavour or another, whatever, however you want to say it. But one of the things is that we are the church. So we are the church in Skipton. We are the church in Ramsbottom, whatever. And as I said earlier, the other point was that we love to give things out for free. We love to pray for people and to just give them a blessing. So we do this, we did it for 10 weeks on the trot, and now we do it every month. We go out, and we often don't just stay in one place. We will take baskets. So if we're giving out something, one of them is called bags of blessing, little items of just a reminder of God. So there's a little cross in there. There's some, I think, a packet of hankies to say God, you know, God cares for you when you're feeling sad, and then there's some sweets in there to say that He's various things that have a meaning, and there's a little card with what the meaning is. So we take those out in baskets and we go around the town with them. We don't just stay in one place, because if you do that, people then learn to avoid you. Whereas if you go out with the baskets, they can they can't avoid you. And we've found that over the time, that the people that we have most impact with are not the people walking down the street, the visitors. We get a lot of tourists and so on, but it's the stall holders and the shopkeepers, because they're always there, and they're always the people we always go in to see them. If they're not busy, obviously we don't crowd in if they are, but we go and talk to them and we build up a relationship. So over the last 12, 15 months or so of doing this, you're starting to build up a real connection with a lot of these people, and they tell you about their problems, they tell you what they need prayer for. So it's, again, it's just consolidating the church's place in our community, which says that we will help you, we'll try and pray for you, we'll help you where we can. One of the corniest ones we did recently was we went out with bags of Wotsits. Have you ever seen Wotsits? Those cheesy things. Don't like them at all, but anyway. So we go out and give people these, and they go, what's it all about? And we said, yes, exactly, what's it all about? So we then start the conversation about Jesus from there. So there's various ways you can do these things. Do You Know Him is a way of uniting churches, creating a sense of working together to disciple them and build them into a place where they pray for each other and for their town, and equipping them with evangelistic tools, ways of talking to people, ways of not being afraid to give a reason for the hope that is within us, and just going out and doing it. You build friendships with other members of other churches that you had never have an opportunity to do so anywhere else. And I remember going through Skipton car park with a curate from a local Anglican church. So we're carrying this sofa through the middle of the car park, and you can build up a conversation, and you can imagine it's quite a funny thing to do. We have a listening sofa as well, the listening sofa. So you just have someone who sits on the sofa, preferably smiling, who just has we have a little sign that just says here to listen. And it's not about telling people what they should think or giving them advice. If they ask for it, that's fine. But it's about listening. People like to feel that someone will just stop and listen to them. Often if people are in trouble, in difficulty in their lives, they just need someone to talk to, and that's where the church can be. And I'm sure it is the case with your activities that a lot of you guys listen to people who have problems, and you're there for their support. This is a way of kind of getting the people on the street who don't even come into the church. This is the place where we can meet people who we'd never come to meet in any other way. So that's our experience. It may be something that's helpful to you. It may not. I know that Shetland is a different place to Skipton. I know, and not everything that we do is relevant to you. And I'm certainly not telling you how you should do anything. We've just found this to be something that works. So that's why I'm telling you about it, because it might be something that you can use. We've developed a little bit of training. We've developed a little bit of resource and sort of ideas about what to do, and we're always happy to share that with any group. But one of the most encouraging things is that Unity service. You saw the picture earlier on, where all the churches in Skipton came together. All the churches, when it was in Ramsbottom, all came together. Never happened before. And I guess that here might be different, but for us, that was quite astonishing. Because we all knew that it was about Jesus. We were there for Jesus. We were there because each church recognized the position of Jesus in their church, and therefore that was the point of unity. Not about other things. When we're on the street, we don't talk about other things. People want to talk to us about pain and suffering. Yes, we will. We may ask them, well, is that relevant? Why is that an issue for you, to turn it around a bit? But we don't like to go off-piste. We like to concentrate on the person of Jesus, what he means to us, what he's done for them, how he can change their situation, rather than worrying about other theological issues, which are important, but they're not for now. They're not for now. So it's a really big question being focused on that. Okay.
Next week, I'm going to get a settee. Can I borrow a settee? And we'll go down into middle of town and... it's different, and it just gets people's attention. I don't know if I could do it here, because of weather and rain.
Might be a bit cold.
I think obviously things like that worked in Skipton, things like that working all over, and it's looking at what works here. How can we better bridge build into people's lives, into community, into society, into town? And again, I think it's just sometimes just getting together and talking and praying. So we're talking about praying. I know time's gone. So Pete, Ella, thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. And I know you're busy, so busy with Augment. And there's a lot going on as well in the mainland. So let's just pray for Pete and Ella. Lord, we really thank you for all that you are doing, and by your Spirit, the way that you're leading and you're guiding. We know that, Lord, we read in your word where some people did some strange things, and things that you asked them to do just to bridge out and to reach out. And we thank you for Pete and Ella, for what you've called them to in Augment, and we pray for your constant guidance upon them in the way to link in with churches and to help them engage better with their communities and the people around where they live, Lord. Just opportunities to talk and to pray into people's lives. And so, Lord, as well, that's what we want to bring ourselves to you tonight for. Thank you for the open doors that you're giving to us. And we, again, Father, want to just be walking with you and walking with your Spirit, knowing your guidance, Lord, each and every day, even being obedient to you, Lord, in being prompted to just talk and to pray with someone. So again, Father God, we want to be led of you. We want to walk with you. I remember, Father God, in your word where it talks about, I only do what I see my Father doing. And we know that, Father God, you're doing a lot and you're involving us each and every day. So Father, again, we pray that you would fill us with your boldness. And each one of us would leave here tonight with a real listening ear. And that we would do what you're doing, Lord, as you call us again to the greatest work on earth. So, Father, we bless you tonight. Thank you for all that you're doing. And we're excited about it too. Father, may we tonight give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name.